And so that Sunday, Lord, you need to help me because I have no clue what I'm going to preach at any of them. Because I preached last week, and then of course I preach this morning, and I'll preach this afternoon. So I said, Lord, please lead me and guide me. But I was resting in it. I was relaxed because I knew the Lord would answer the prayer, because he says you pray anything according to his will and it will be done. And it is God's will that I don't preach. Bless you. It is God. Yes, it's God's will that I bless you. Bless you. Yes. Wonderful. It is God's will that I don't preach my own thing, but I preach what I feel the Lord's leading me to do. And so I knew that he was going to do it. Well, that afternoon, went to the Chinese service, and I was handed this bag. And I said, for me? Goes, yeah, it's a present. So my dear brother Jason, y'all know Jason, or most of y'all know Jason, he handed me this gift. And as I opened up, I could not believe it. I should just show you, right? Yeah, that would be even better, wouldn't it? Yes. Look at this that I was. Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah. You think it looks good. Now wait until I put it on, dude. So when I seen this, all of a sudden, like, I know my sermon. And I thought of this passage that Anita read, and let me read it to us again. And partly I just wanted to come back here and read it to see if Ian keeps moving that thing around. Bless his little heart. So in Isaiah, I didn't know where it was, but I thought of this. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. And that's what I thought of when I saw this. And I believe I'm supposed to bring a sermon about God's robe of righteousness for us. But go a little bit further too. As it says that he has given us this robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation. I was talking with Gary and with someone else about how, when I was at YWAM, there were people be way over here, the sovereignty of God, they would say, I threw that on there because it was predestined from the foundations of the earth. They would go, boom, everything's there. But then you have people go way on the other side, and their take on free will, that, oh, no, God cannot get involved and mess with your free will. And they, both y'all, wait, let's stay in the middle. It's not one or the t'other. It's here, but we don't understand it, because we do know the Word of God talks about how sovereign he is, that he is in control, but we're not puppets, that we have choices and responsibilities. I don't fully get it. I know that God is sovereign. He's in control of all. I don't understand that, because we have choices and responsibilities. We are responsible before God. The Word is clear about that. But it's also clear he is sovereign. And we need God. He has to provide a robe of righteousness. We can't do it on our own. He has to provide that. But as we'll see in the scriptures, he's also telling us to choose. We'll get into that more in here. So I'll break it down a little bit. To start with, first point is our need to be clothed. Well, it goes way back at the beginning when Adam and Eve, and God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's right. And of course, they didn't listen to God, but they listened to the serpent trying to say, oh, yeah. What he was really doing was trying to mess with God's character. Oh, yeah, he's doing that to limit you. He gave them every fruit there was to eat and says, eat anything you want, but one little thing. Now, is that being too harsh? One little thing. Don't eat that one, but eat everything else. Go eat all those things I provided for you. But the one thing they couldn't, that's what they wanted. Dude, that sounds like us at times, doesn't it? Yeah. That's how we get. So some people like, well, I don't believe in, Adam and original sin and all that. I'm like, well, you don't have to believe in it. One, it's in the scriptures, but you don't have to believe in it. Have you ever sinned? Yes. Well, there you go. Doesn't matter if it was originally back here or from you. You have it. You sin. We all sin. And you notice when Adam and Eve sin, they try to clothe themselves. They knew they were naked. They were naked the whole time, but at that point, it was because they sinned, they had the guilt of their sin, the shame of their sin, the almost dirtiness of their sin. And so they wanted to cover up. And they did cover up. But I don't know how many times it's actually hit me, but at the garden, the Lord was showing from the very beginning that he needs to provide the covering for our sins. But he does more than cover our sins. But I might get into that a little later. So what did God do? He went and took an animal and killed it. And that was where death first came in here on earth as we know it. First, and then he made covering for them. But it took death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is. The gospel was being preached right in Genesis. They sin. The wages of sin is death. And to make a provision for them to be covered, their nakedness to be covered, death had to happen, and God himself had to provide it. Do we see this? God sovereignly had to do this. It's mind-blowing that the gospel we see from the first few pages. Well, let's move on. Because, I don't know why I have notes, because I'm probably not going to follow them. Oh, yes, I do, because I'm going to use this later, and it will help help Miss Laura. So in this passage, the need to be clothed. And it brings up about, here it says, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garment and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Now, it's not saying that that's different from God provided the robe of righteousness, but he's saying even in our culture that the bridegroom and the bride, that they will put on something special. I asked Jason, okay, when do people wear these things? And Jason said, well, usually on Chinese New Year and at a wedding. So what that passage is saying is just as we in our culture know that we need to set ourselves apart and put on something special. Wear something different. They were being set apart as a bride or a bridegroom, right? And that word set apart, it means sanctify. It's where we get the word saint, right, Saint Brenda? That's right. That's where we get it. So he makes us special. And then it says the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before the land. It's what the Lord's doing. And when I read this, and even before, it says a garden causes the things sown in to spring up. Sometimes when we give our life to the Lord, we might not see that righteousness right away. But it's there. Now, Gary can tell us all about this. Not that I'm asking you to do it right now, brother. But what, keen gardener he is. You don't see anything. Then you see a little sprout. Then a little more. And then there's this great fruit. That's what the Lord's doing. So we see that there's a need to be clothed. Now let's go into this part. God's provision to clothe. We've seen that already, but the first part here is showing the need to clothe. We read that passage, or Anita read that passage, and I reread it in Isaiah 61. Can anyone tell me, I'm gonna test my Bible scholars here, how does that chapter actually start off? Does anybody remember? Don't you look on the phone, don't you dare. Starts with verse 1. Yes, that's good, that's good. Anyone know? Just a second. Great, no. Beautiful, that's 41. But good try. It's either 40 or 41, but that's a good try. Say this again. Oh. You were close. Wait, hold on.
Oh, God.
Yes, don't give me, oh, no. I hope that was, oh, no. I hope that was, oh, no, because I'm bringing the mic, not, oh, no, because the pastor's coming near. Okay,
I'll just read it out rather than from my head. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Do you want me to carry on anymore?
You can do whatever you want. Apparently, you're taking over. Go ahead. Fight. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's the passage that we see in Luke chapter 4, verses 15 to 21, where Jesus is in the synagogue, and then he turns and opens the book and found the place where it's written, verse 18. This is Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he, Jesus, closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So here it is. God wants to bring a robe of righteousness, bring us garments of salvation. He wants to spring forth his righteousness from us. That's been his plan. We see it in the garden. It's been his plan. Now, God's provision for us comes with Jesus coming and saying, he's fulfilling this. He's the one that comes because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Now, I have to admit, that's kind of mind-blowing when I think about it, Mike. But you are God. Yes, but he emptied himself. Isn't that what it tells us in Philippians chapter 2? He emptied himself and took on, clothed himself with human likeness. He who had was God and had a special robe, if you will. He had the robe of righteousness. He's God. But he chose to lay that aside and put on the form of human. Mind-blowing. And then it says, but now the Spirit of the Lord is upon him there. That the God, by his Spirit, anointed Jesus, sent Jesus to release captives, to let the poor know the good news, to recover the sight of the blind. He did it physically and he does it spiritually, because a lot of people are blind spiritually, to set free those who are oppressed. So when I looked at this list of what Jesus did, and of course, thinking of this nice robe, I thought, well, he preached the gospel to the poor, those who might not be afford to wear nice things. He, He was proclaiming and released to the captives who are in prison clothes, dirty and all sweaty and messed up from their years of being in captivity, to the blind, to free the oppressed. He let them know, you are the ones that I've come for. Not to those who look all righteous, not to those who are in the castle in royal, like, you know, some of you would have seen, you know, Anita and I, our picture of last week. We were there in the same room where Henry VIII was courting Jane Seymour, and not the medicine woman lady, no, a different Jane Seymour. We were standing in the place where royalty was. But that royalty is nothing compared to the royalty that came down. He chose to come down, the King of Kings. Now let's move on to this other part. Jesus is the one who provides that needed clothes. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to read it all. You can turn there if you want to. It's a wonderful passage. I'm probably not going to read all the different scriptures I have here today, but I will read some of them. And you were, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. I love the word trespasses. You know what? You know, when you say in the Lord's Prayer at different churches, they'll use different words, sin. Some will say trespasses. The reason I like trespasses is some people can argue, well, is this a sin or is that a sin? But trespass, we have it a lot in America. You know, you have the public pathways, right? You go through farmers' fields. Dude, you could never do that in America. There's no trespassing. And dude, they'll have shotguns. You just don't be messing with these American guys, okay? So trespassing is going where you know you shouldn't be going. Sometimes we can say, well, I don't know if that's a sin. Have you ever heard someone say, well, it's not really a sin. It was a little white lie. Have you heard people say that? Don't admit it if you said it right now. Well, admit it to God, but don't admit it to us. Can you little white murder? The answer is no, by the way. You can't. You either murder or you don't murder. You either lie or you don't lie. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Yes, wrath, not wrath, wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. We have to have God. I was handed this. It was a gift. Who paid for this gift? Jason did. Yeah, Jason paid for it. What did I have to do to make this gift mine? Accept it, receive it. Yes, that is what the scriptures say. God has provided salvation for us. It is not by us being good enough, because we never can be good enough. Adam and Eve, think about this. Adam and Eve disobeyed God the one time and could no longer be in his presence. How many times have you and I disobeyed God? Oh, Miss Brenda just gasped. Ooh, I don't want to know the number. I don't. But you are a saint now. By the grace of God, we are saints. Can you imagine that? But the gift was given to us by God, but we have to receive it. It tells us that in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Jesus, to them he has given the right to become children of God. Let's move on. Because now I want to look at applying the provision that God has given us. Says in John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, he was in the world. Oh, this is the verse I was just quoting. And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. John 3, 5 and 6. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. This is as Jesus was telling his people, you know, in John 13 was what we call the Last Supper. He washed his disciples' feet. And then he says he's going away, and they were very sad and everything. And then he was saying, but it's good that I go away. And then I'll pick it up at verse 15. This is John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So he's talking about the day of Pentecost, that he is near you. God's Spirit is near, but will be in you. That's amazing. We have the Spirit of God in us. Let me read this last one here. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see clearly, for us to be saved, for us to be forgiven of our sins, we have to turn to God. And it's the work he has done. It's the work that Jesus paid the price on the cross for all our sins. But let's get to this last part. Because now this is applying the provision of need for clothes. This is our responsibility now. To those who were Christians at the time of these writings, these words were written. But before I get into them, think of this. Before I can put this gift that I have on, what must I do first? You're calling my nice shirt old? What is this? I didn't think this part through. Okay. I have to first take off, right? The scriptures tell us to take off the old self, or the the old man. And ladies, that's not talking about your husbands. No. Take off those old garments that got filthy with sin, that was all smelly. Yeah, I'll let y'all in a secret. Anita doesn't even know this. So I was here last night, and kind of late last night, and I was closing up the window, and I'm like, ooh, something smells, right? I'm like, oh, it smells like I didn't put deodorant on. I did, on this arm. I forgot that arm. But that's how our garments get. They get smelly. Our sins, and it's all dirty. But we must take them off. Now put this on. See, I'm going to tell you, you thought this looked good. Now wait. See, this is what I'm saying. Yes. Okay. All right, I'm going to do it right. Well, I'm going to try to do it right. I put it on last time, and then he says, you buttoned it up wrong. Isn't it nice to have our spouses around? Is that right? Is that even? Okay. Good. Yeah, it was the second try. The first try, I could fit in it, but I like them loose. So, you know, and the more manly I get at the gym, you know, yes. Okay, so yeah, so thank you for bringing up the size, Roger. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I know my church is there for me. Wonderful. That's great. It does look special, doesn't it? I do look set apart, don't I? This is what Jesus does for us. We may look in the mirror, you're special because he has given you his robe of righteousness, his garments of salvation. Isn't that awesome? We are clothed with Jesus. Let's look at some of these scriptures. In Romans. Yeah, okay. And Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sinning and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. The NIV version says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourself. I'll get back to that here in a second. Clothing ourselves with Jesus. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. And there's a lot more. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. So as that you have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a new heart of compassion. Or the NIV says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Even to those of us who are walking with the Lord, who have a robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation from the Lord that he provided, we're still told we need to make a choice. God sovereignly provided. But then he has us make a choice. Put off those old. Unfortunately, we keep trying to pick it back up. Put them off. Now, there's another passage I don't have in my notes here, and I'll just briefly look at it. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and it tells us to put on the full... You guys are getting good. The full armor of God. So put on the full armor of God. Can anyone remember all the pieces? Okay. Someone said, yeah? I'm sorry. Hold on. I forgot to do this. I know this is your favorite part. Okay, Miss Brenda, tell us.
Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation.
That's right. Helmet of salvation.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
Belt of truth.
Belt of truth, yes.
And the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith.
Yes. One more.
Slippers?
Slippers? What translation are you reading? Okay, who else can tell us it's not slippers? I'm sorry?
I made that one up myself.
Well, oh, really? Really? Okay, Gary, what is it?
Sorry, I missed that because Jordan was speaking. Just repeat the question.
Okay, forget it. Okay. It's not slippers. What is it? Who can tell me?
With peace, the,
Okay.
Feet shod with.
I heard it's slippers.
Well, okay.
But it's not.
It could be slippers in my case.
Yes. I'm hearing back here. What is it? Wait. Who knows it? Oh, so you're volunteering your husband now.
Sandals of.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Just when I was bragging about you, you said you knew what it was?
Was it sandals of peace?
Pretty close. That's right. Okay. We're going to go to the Bible scholars back here. Who's going to do this? It's what?
Sandals fitted with the readiness, the gospel of peace.
Yes. The readiness of the gospel of peace. So put on the sandals or slippers, apparently, of the gospel of peace. So what it's telling us, there we go, to have good footing, to always be ready to be able to share the gospel. A lot of us say, that's what the evangelist's job is. Well, in Ephesians 4, look at it. You'll see it this week. We're going to look at these passages this week when I get back to sending you all out the little devotionals in the morning. But the evangelist, it says that God's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints to do the work. And that, saints, who's a saint here, Brenda? Okay, Brenda the saint and the rest of us who are saints, she's just still thinking of the slippers. So sorry about that. Okay. But we need to be prepared. So we put on the full armor, right? Well, I've heard some people that every morning they'll get up and they'll put on the full armor and they'll go through piece by piece, just as if they're putting it on. Okay. And then I heard this one preacher say, when did you ever take it off? That's kind of interesting, ain't it? Because if you look at it, I'm not going to get into it because it'll be too long for me to explain it, but pray about this, is if you look at each piece, that's putting on the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Just as that passage told us, put it on, right? Our salvation is from Jesus, right? Righteousness from Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is the gospel of peace, right? He is the Spirit. And the Spirit, it says, the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who's Jesus? The Word of God. I think I left out one. What did I leave out? shield, the shield of faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Do you see? So to put on the full armor of God, you have to put off the old man and put on Jesus. See that? But there are times where, we'll just say like the belt, we may not tell the truth. We may say little white lies. Or we may not walk in righteousness and be protected. So this is where the scriptures tell those who have salvation that we must, yes, that we must put Christ on. Last verse, and then we're going to pray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. That's not the main part. And all of you, that's the main part. Not just the younger ones, not just the elders, but everyone in between. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Which is why we're told to put on the full armor of God. He has made these provisions. But we have choices. Don't understand it. I don't understand where our choices and God's sovereignty, where one starts and the other ends, because God's always sovereign. I don't get it. But the word of God says I am to put off the old and to receive his gift of the robe of righteousness, his righteousness, the garments of his salvation. So it's this tension of both at the same time, that God sovereignly needs to work by his Holy Spirit so we can put off. See that? We need God. But we're not puppets. We're not robots. He has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can put off the old and walk in the new. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you as we're celebrating Pentecost that you have provided your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you give us. We don't fully understand it all, but we praise you and thank you for it.